command, a time to be silent and a time to speak. Time to be silent.
And it can be sitting in your car. You turn off the engine before you hop out and run into work or going to the store or going to... Just sit there for 30 seconds and say, Father, thank you for this. Father, I'm struggling with the decision. Father, help me. And he knows our hearts. We'll talk about that a little bit later. He knows our hearts. He knows exactly what's going on. He just needs us to go to him, right, to make that connection. In Job chapter 6, verse 24, teach me, and I will be quiet. Show me where I have been wrong. That's the course corrections God gives us in our lives, right? He's got a path for us. He's got a perfect plan for us. And we just need to know what that plan is, and we need to be obedient and follow that plan. Because guess what? That's the best plan for our lives. That's the perfect plan. It's not our plan. It's his plan, okay? And we need to ask him through quiet time, through being still, what it is he wants us to do. Okay, so first part, be still. Second part, know that I am God. All right? So we're going to talk about the nature of God. Who is God? What is God like? What are his attributes? What are some phrases, some words, some concepts that describe God? Okay, we're just going to talk about three. Because you can talk about this, or you can write volumes of books on this, right? But we don't have time for that. We have 20 minutes, right? So the first attribute we're going to talk about is love. God is love. Love is the thread that binds all of God's attributes together. And it is love. Love is the currency of our faith. You can quantify everything we do, everything we say, all the actions we take in love, right? That's what guides. It's a guiding principle of everything. In fact, love is so important that it's mentioned 541 times in the Bible. So we're going to spend about a minute on each of those 541 numbers. It's on the No, please. A bit lunch plans. We're just going to talk in verses about love. We're just going to talk about four right now. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. God is love, like we said. It's the currency of our faith. God is love. He's the definition of love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul wrote, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the ultimate display of love, isn't it? That Christ was willing to die for the forgiveness of our sins, and we'll talk about that a little more when we celebrate communion, celebrate the Last Supper. Later on in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, and I love the way this is written, so listen close, it's really good. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate us. Not even anything in creation can separate us from God's love. Not our sin, not our daily transgressions cannot separate us. He loves us in spite of who we are, in spite of our imperfections, right? And think about this. God cannot love us any more than he does. He loves us, it's incomprehensible, right? He cannot love us any more, and he refuses to love us any less. How lucky are we, right? How blessed are we? Isaiah 54, verse 10. Though the mountains may be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace removed, says the Lord, who has compassion for you. That's a promise that I claim. The Lord's love for us will not be shaken. It will not go away. It's not transient. It's always been here. It's here today, and it always will be here. No matter how unlovable we are, God will love us. Always. So, first attribute of God. God is, Richard?
Love.
God is love. You didn't say nicely. That's good. Thank you. Okay, so for the last two attributes, we'll quickly have a lesson in Latin. So anybody old enough that you ever took Latin in school? There we go. And I guess not age. So the prefix omni, O-M-N-I, means all. You can just substitute all for omni, right? So there are, you know, it's used as a prefix in certain words for like omnidirectional, all directions, right? Omnipresent, present everywhere. Omnivorous, eat anything, right? Eat meat, vegetables, fruits, everything, omnivorous, right? So the first omni that we're going to talk about is God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. God knows everything. In Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. No limit to God's knowledge. No limit to what God knows. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. God knows everything. He sees every moment of our days. Some things make you very happy, and other things probably make you turn his head a little bit, right? But everything is laid bare. God knows all. And then finally, 1 Kings 8:39, that hear from heaven, your dwelling place, forgive and act, deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts. For you alone know every human heart. Like I mentioned before, God knows us. He knows our hearts. You know, prayers don't have to be these long, you know, deeply fancy, you know, pontifications of, they can be, right? They don't have to be, you know. You know, a simple prayer, God help me. Because God knows. God knows our hearts. He knows what's going on with us. Everything is laid bare, right? He understands. You know, you're getting ready to take a test in school, right? You're like, Lord, help me, please. Let me take the knowledge in here and put it on the test sheet, right? God knows. You know, God help this person. God heal this person. He knows. There is no excuse for us not to be still and connect with God. No excuse whatsoever. God possesses an absolute knowledge of all things. All things that have happened, that are happening, and that will ever happen. Right? Think about this. It's impossible for God to learn because He already knows everything, right? He always has, He always will. It's impossible for God to learn. Any of you, and teenagers, cover your ears, if any of you have raised teenagers, you know, this is something they have in common with God, right? Because they know everything. Right? So, but as they get older, they realize maybe that's not the case. You know, their parents are really, really smart, right? So, first thing, God is, Richard, help me out, buddy.
Pretty awesome.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you're going for bonus points. So God is
love.
And God is omniscient. Thank you. So our second omni, our third attribute, is omnipotent. God is all strong, all powerful, all potent, right? And we know this. But let's read some verses that explain that to us. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. God spoke everything in existence into creation from nothing. Before God spoke, you know, the earth, the stars, the plants, the animals, and us in creation, there was nothing. And it's always interesting to me, if you read that part of Genesis that Moses captured in that book, you know, after God gets, He created the land, He created the waters, and He created the fishes, and the insects, and the animals, and the stars. And after each of those He created on the 5 days preceding the sixth, He said, and it was good. But when you get to us, to God's children, it is very good. To me, that says God really loves us, right? God doesn't, there aren't plants on the church. There aren't dogs in heaven. It's God loves us. God loves his children. God cares for his children. God will do anything for his children. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27. For the Lord Almighty has purposed. Who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out. Who can turn it back? Nobody. Nobody. No force. No, not anything in existence can thwart the will of God. Matthew 19:26. Remember this one. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible. With God all things are possible." And we've seen that. Right? We've seen examples of God doing amazing things through his children. Right? Incredible things. Things that are quite impossible. I'm not going to read a little story about that in a moment. The last attribute under omnipotent is Luke 1:37. For no word from God will ever fail. God's power is infinite, right? It's eternal, and it's incomprehensible. It's, you know, it's impossible for our human minds, our being, to understand just how powerful God is. We can't. Maybe one day we'll know, won't we? All of us here will know. And I look forward to that day. We know that with him all things are possible. We invite him in, we connect with him, we follow that perfect plan that he has for us, and we listen to him when he makes course corrections, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and to give us help, you know, strength, encouragement to do the things that God wants us to do, because sometimes, many times, God asks us to do things that aren't easy, but that's the road that we follow, isn't it? But I can promise that it will always be blessed if we follow the path that God has for us. So I'm going to read a little story about a boy named Selma. And he's a little boy from Mozambique. And this story is told by a lady named Heidi Baker. Her and her husband, Roland, were missionaries. They started in California in 1980. And since that time, all these years since then, those decades, they have expanded their mission field to include 20 different countries throughout the world on every continent. Pretty incredible. Thousands of churches. It just shows you what God can do through us, right? So I'm going to read a little story about a boy named Anselmo. The story is called God's Way is the Best Way. And this was written by Heidi. We have an amazing boy who lives with us called Anselmo. I love him so deeply. He is so full of joy and passion for Jesus. He was born with club feet, so he doesn't walk very well. For some reason we don't understand, Anselmo has been in many meetings where healings have taken place, but God has not chosen to heal him. One day we were on an outreach trip, this is in Mozambique, remember, and Anselmo was alone. I became aware in my spirit that some of my kids were being given words from God. And at that moment, she was quiet. She was still, right, and received word from God. And so she asked, which one of you has a word of knowledge? Bam, all these hands went up. I asked, and a whole bunch of them, including Anselmo, raised his hand. Anselmo said, God's going to heal somebody who can't walk well, Anselmo said, brimming over with excitement. I couldn't help but hope it was going to be him. This is her again, you know, in quiet her heart. Please, Lord, let it be today. Let it be my boy, Anselmo. I pleaded in the quiet of my heart. No one moved or came forward. Anselmo spoke the word again. Jesus is going to heal somebody who can't walk. Out of the shadows came a woman. She was bent over for many years of carrying a heavy burden. What looked like a sack on her back was actually a 3-year-old girl who couldn't walk. Anselmo looked at me with his cheeky grin. I like that part. Because Anselmo knew what was going to happen. When the mama put her on the dirt, the girl fell over like a rag. She had no working muscles that could hold her up. She appeared to be lifeless, but she was breathing. Anselmo put his young hands on the child, and the power of God hit that little girl's body like an electric shock. She moved and strengthened in front of us. Her frame started to take shape, almost like a puppet drawn out of lifeless sleep. She sat up. Her mother started weeping. And Asamo grinned. He was so happy to be used by God. And it wasn't bitter or upset that it was him, you know, that was not cured. He was just so happy for this little girl. Asamo grinned. This little one was healed. Hallelujah. And then finally, Heidi hands up and says, God does not do things our way. His understanding is not our understanding. His way are not our ways. She said, I trust him with my little guy, Asamo, as I do with everything. And we can trust him with our knowns too. He knows so much that we do not know. Just a beautiful story, a true story, that illustrates everything we're talking about today. Be still and know that I am God. So the elements are there. God is love. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. Right? Be still. Asamo connected with God. Even though he's a little boy, pretty incredible, right? He had an amazing connection with God. You know, when we try to get a hold of God, you know, we never get a busy thing, right? It's God's the ultimate multitasker. You know, he's always going to have time for us. We just need to make time for him. And guess what? We will be blessed. It's totally to our advantage to do that. So be still. Asamo connected with God to receive that word of knowledge, to receive that instruction. He was obedient to lay hands on that little girl. So God's omnipotence is demonstrated. God healed that little girl. She's 3 years old. She had never even sat up before. Only God can do that. There's no doctor that can do that. Only God can make that happen. God's love. God blessed Asamo by using him to heal that little girl. And that's why it chokes me up, because Asamo was just so tickled. He was so happy that he was able to do that. And he wasn't like, oh, that should have been me. You know, God healed her, but what about me? You know, he wasn't like that. He was just totally happy and thrilled that he could do that. So God blessed Asamo. And then, of course, God blessed the little girl as well, and her mother, and everybody that witnessed this. And then finally, God's omniscience. Heidi writes at the end of the story, his timing, his way. He knows what we don't know, right? But we're not going to understand everything, and that's okay that we don't understand everything. It seems like that's kind of how I wander through life most of the time anyway. I'm more comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's all right. It's okay. We don't need to understand it. God gets it. Just listen to him and follow that path, follow that road that he wants us to follow. Okay. Richard, if you've been snoozing for the last 19 minutes, everybody pay attention for 1 minute. I'm going to summarize everything. I'm going to tell you what's on the test. I'm going to summarize everything in 1 minute, okay? And if you pay attention for just 1 minute, then you'll get it. So, be still, you know, and know that I am God. So be still. Be intentional, right? Make time for God. Make a connection. Be consistent. Spend quality time. Don't think about God as you're doing this or doing that, you know? I mean, it's fine. Washing the dishes is kind of a mindless thing. You can do that, you know, or cut your grass or something like that. That's okay, right? But spend quality time, and you know what that is. And so does God, all right? So consistent quality time, follow the path that God has put us on, the perfect path, and we'll be blessed. Just watch. You'll see the difference. Second part, know that I am God. Okay, God is love. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful, right? There's nothing that we can't accomplish in our lives. Look at the missionaries, the Baker family, what they accomplished in their life. That was with the help of God. They didn't do that on their own. That was God working. But they were blessed to be able to do that through him. I'm with God on my side. I don't know about you, but I can't do it by myself. Man, if we've got God on our side, sky's the limit, okay? Just be willing to be used. Be willing to have God pour his goodness into. Let's pray to finish up, please. Lord, you tell us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Father, we praise your name. O above all others. And we thank you for the blessing that you give us beyond our ability to understand. We pray for the wisdom and diligence to be still and to connect with you so that we can soak up your goodness. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. What's next? Boss?
As we come to communion, we thought the rightful hymn was Be Still in the Presence of the Lord. Jamie did ask which song we wanted, didn't we? And this one has got particular passion for me because when I was married a very long time ago, the minister that we had at our church named St. Albans at Marshallswick, Robert Davis, raised him with his wife in Welsh and lovely, lovely people. Unfortunately, Bob's not here anymore. His wife Barbara actually sang this as a solo at our wedding, so this one's got a lot of memories for me, a lot of passion in it. So as we come to communion, we shall stand and sing.
Minor technical glitch.